gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You okay?
I'm fine. Nobody help me.
Oh, God.
Nobody help Mama. Everything's good.
Help Mommy.
Help Mommy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. It's 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Big show today. Former Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Cluey, who we obviously are dying to talk to.
Yes.
About Michael Sam coming out. Bob Seska of the Daily Banter. And then John Fugelsang will be tomorrow instead of Friday. We have
right.
a little bit of a cattywampus week because it's a travel week.
We're exactly.
Going, we're all going to Phoenix for the first 2014 Sexy Liberal. Yay.
Yay.
Including Jim Ward, who would you like to, you want to hear the excuse?
Yeah, you're starting to get those excuse calls now.
Right, now that we're doing the show in the home studio, I get the phone calls.
Right.
And this one I have to say because I know there gets to be betting pool in the chat room as to what why Jim's late and
right.
what the excuse will be. Our favorite in Los Angeles was...
I have ice on my windshield.
I had to scrape the ice off my windshield. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Granted, it was very cold that morning. And
right.
Yes.
Right. Not an excuse you hear a lot in L.A.
And so not a lot of people carry ice
right.
scrapers.
Right. And so you remember he got about 70,000 ice scrapers from everyone around the country.
Yes.
All our fans in Chicago
yep.
and Columbus. And
Minneapolis.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Madison. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this one, I again, points for creativity for Jim as usual. This one. Want to guess? Want to guess? Anybody? He said, I set my watch 10 minutes slow. There's no explanation as to why. We'll have to suss into that when he gets
why
here.
Why would one...
He said, I don't have my mistake, and so I'm just leaving now. Okay.
Why would one do that?
Well, I think one did it accidentally. One would wonder, and I'm going to guess...
Drunk.
Yes. Guessing perhaps he was setting it last night.
Vodka
and
makes
he was just kind of improvising, just kind of spitballing.
Yeah, vodka right. makes him spacey.
Right. You know what? It doesn't matter because he, as a talent, as you know, is a hothouse orchid. And you know what? He's that's how they're a little, you know, because he says things like, what does David Gregory think about what Chuck Todd said about what Cokie Roberts says she thinks?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. That is a brilliant, he only has to say one thing a day.
That is true.
It's a brilliant summation of the state of our journalism and our media today.
Oh, boy.
What the Christ. All right. Yeah. Martin writes, Martin in Madison, I was an extra good sexy liberal because Santa brought me one of the last Madison tickets for Christmas.
What?
Oh, my God. Those were gone, I think, right after Christmas.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Martin, woot.
That's cray-cray.
Right?
What?
We will see.
It's what the kids are saying.
Right. We will see you there. But don't forget, just announced this week. This is coming up very fast. This was a special surprise, Sexy Liberal. We were invited to do this. It is Pride Weekend in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
We got that covered,
mm-hmm.
so we like to get the breeders there.
Warning, this promo contains material not suitable for stick-up-the-butt conservatives.
No.
Just in time to kick off Spring Break 2014. The hottest, craziest, most off-the-hook progressive head-turners are hitting South Florida. It's Sexy Liberals Gone Wild, Fort Lauderdale.
So hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On March 1st, the official start of Spring Break 2014.
Springtime.
Stephanie Miller. The world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Join John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and the pride of progressive media, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available at ParkerPlayhouse.com or by calling 954-462-0222.
Yeah.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 1st, at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale. Get your tickets now. Go to ParkerPlayhouse.com.
Yeah, that really is only like
right?
2.5 weeks
yeah.
away.
So hurry. And apparently, the box office doesn't get... explode yesterday. We did better than we did last time we played Fort Lauderdale.
That's right.
For the first day ticket sales there go, because that's a small theater for us.
It is.
Check,
yes.
So go, get it. And the, oh, by the way, John Fugelsang and I
uh-huh.
had a number of go-to meetings yesterday about what? Exactly what's to be done with you for Sexy Liberal Phoenix this
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah, what? Why are
Don't
you having
worry.
Me?
We're,
Why am I here?
Because you're hot and you'll wear something tight for Mama.
Oh, God.
All right. And tart it up out there.
Will I get a wardrobe budget, or am I going to wear nothing, and so therefore I don't get a wardrobe?
You and Jim will be our master of ceremonies. You've been invited for first time ever to do panel.
That's right. Because
you're kind of a celebrity in Phoenix. Right.
You know, people, my on-air name on the country music show that I produced
there
was Secret Agent Love Toy. So people in Phoenix might know me as that.
Oh, my God.
With Tim and Willie. But, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Everybody. Well, those last couple of tickets just went out the door right now. Okay, so John Tegel, San Carlos Alzraki, Jim Ward, Chris LeBoy will all be at the very first Sex of the World this Saturday in Phoenix. We're very excited.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Fort Lauderdale next. Madison sold out, but Chicago going like crazy, so hurry and get those April tickets. Albuquerque in May. Oh, and there's yet another announcement.
What?
Friday.
We're having an announcement on Friday?
Friday, Sex of the World announcement for June. All right, kids, because we have the smartest kids in class.
Yeah.
Hunter in Chicago writes about Rand Paul. Does Rand Paul have any advice for President Hoover on how to fix this economy? See, because he's going back to the...
Yeah.
I really can't believe he's still at that. Even Karl Rove is like, you are a ninny.
Yes.
Really? I don't get it. Who thinks this is a smart idea? Hillary can't be president because Bill got a... At 19...
Yeah.
Right? This is when Jim's going to make a ruckus and come in in the middle of the broadcast.
Start setting things up and making noise.
Right. And the
Hi, Jim.
Dogs are causing a commotion. Hi, Jim. How are you? Everybody. Okay. All right. We'll wait till you get settled there. Okay. It's not like this is live television or radio, right? We can edit this out in post, right, Natan? Will this be a highlight?
Yeah. Will we send this as a highlight?
Will this be a highlight for tomorrow?
For the video podcast, which is available if you go to stephaniemiller.com and click on StephCast.
Oh, dear God. That was smooth.
Oh,
hi, Jim.
Whatever.
Everybody is wondering. We just are wondering. Why would one set one's watch 10 minutes slow? By accident? Well, you need to turn your microphone on, too. That's a new
and
thing.
And put headphones on.
Okay.
See,
all right.
Could have settled
all
that
right.
if we were.
Okay. I'm not sure if this is better radio or television, but it's pretty great at all of it, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Jim, sorry. Yeah,
see,
hi.
Watches have batteries, and sometimes they run low.
Oh.
This is what happened.
Oh, so you didn't set it wrong.
I was relying on my watch, which is 10 minutes slow.
You were lying on your watch? Like, oh, you mean like under, like your arms were underneath
relying
you?
On his watch.
Oh, relying.
Relying.
I'm sorry. I thought maybe he laid on it and killed the battery.
Relying on his watch.
Because, you know, sometimes I sleep like that, this thing. You know, the, like, dead body thing.
I haven't worn a watch in years.
Really?
Yeah.
I wear a watch. Well, us old people, old-timey people like Jim and I wear watches.
Cell phone is on me all the time, so.
Yeah, you're like Edward's cell phone hands. Yes. All right. Jim, you're here just in time for a guest to quote, just to, you know, get you. Who said this is in honor of one of our guests today. Who said, I hate the word homophobia. It's not a phobia. You're not scared. You're a... Who said that?
Paul Land.
No. Morgan Freeman. Confuse him. Lawrence Fishburne or Morgan Freeman. Or
Did Morgan Freeman really say that?
Pardon me?
I think that might be one of those internet hoaxes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd like to think that Morgan Freeman said it in that voice of God.
I was not Cowboy Curtis.
In that voice of God.
There are a lot of Morgan Freeman quotes going around the interwebs that aren't Morgan Freeman. Yeah.
It could have been Chris Cluey, our guest today.
That's what I was
going
to guess.
Yeah.
It was actually Forgan Meeman.
Ah,
excuse
guess.
Me? All right. Oh, good. I'm glad Jim's getting right to his crossword. That's the important thing.
Shirley Temple died. I had no idea.
You know, I mentioned that on the show yesterday, but you don't listen to me, do you?
What?
See?
Did you say something? There's this buzz coming from somewhere.
You know what? This is even more like a reality show than we thought. In the
There's
home
an annoying
studio.
Buzz in the room.
Oh, it's you. I really am just his professional wife. He just reads the paper, ignores me. He just ignores the cameras, the microphones. All right.
It's actually very much like a play I did, where whole first scene was me reading the paper. And then
so you've just been reenacting
that
every morning.
Word, you know, the girl's going off to school. Goodbye, dear. And went back to the paper. So.
I'm sure that took a lot of method acting.
Used to, in the old studio, it was a problem because he mostly was looking at...
Got a huge laugh. Just because I was quiet the whole time. And suddenly I say two words.
Well, That's what you're there for, is the big laughs.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, in the old studio, he'd mostly be watching porn, but now the back camera can see what he's doing.
Totally see what you're
we're
doing.
We're like, oh, well, now this will be better because Jim won't be distracted during the show and he'll pay attention to me and participate. And now what?
What?
See? Old-timey a newspaper. Now he's got newspapers and he has a new way to ignore me.
Well, you know, because of that, you don't find out until this morning that Shirley Temple has died.
He's gonna.
Remember the old way
you know
we used to
it's
get
gonna
the
be
news?
Like a baby. We're just gonna keep giving him one thing after another. Like we just keep taking things away from him, and then he'll find new things. Like he'll be there with a Rubik's cube. He has a mobile. Wait a minute. Jim, pay attention to me. All right.
He tries to reach her with his hands and his toes.
Like that guy does the baby thing on SNL now. Did you see that?
Yep. Oh,
you
no.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. The guy in the office.
Executive who's
the executive with baby.
Baby hands.
He does everything.
Does baby things.
Yes. Okay. His head is normal, but his body is that of a baby.
There's no control over it.
That's one of my favorite Rick Overton bits ever. He does a men get bobbly baby head after orgasm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, this was this quote we think is Morgan Freeman, but we don't know. By the way, I watched that clip with Tim Rubin and.
That's
very awkward.
It is incredibly awkward.
I like when he tries to move on Samuel Jackson and goes, "Oh hell no!
Oh hell no! We just started."
Anyway, Susan sent a quote. P.S. The gal who offered to fetch you and Jim beer at 8 a.m. in Madison the very first time you were ever there for the. That's pretty sexy liberal. That was a week to do the radio show.
8:30 in the morning, they're giving us beer.
We're like, wow, they is drunk.
Yep.
Woot, our kind of folks.
Just mix it with some orange juice and,
beer and orange juice?
Nice. Oof.
See, while we think that might have been awkward radio and television, I think the ratings are going to go through the roof. Don't you think, Anton? This really has become like Osbourne's meets, I don't know.
Duck Dynasty.
Came in tripping over dogs. Sharon! Why are these
There's a mastodon in the room. I can't find me.
And a very Kramer-esque entrance.
Yeah.
Why am I talking like that? That's annoying.
I don't know.
At least it's not like,
hey,
that's
what you doing over there?
What do you got?
Michael McDonald wants his character back.
Yeah.
No, that's different. That's
Stuart.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Aww, that makes me nostalgic. Remember, that was our only ally in the coalition of the willing against Iraq. You remember?
A Wimboway
stood with us. And we thank them. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Welcome, America.
Yeah, thanks, George W. Yeah. Hey, did you see this? The Boner Cave.
Yes, he did.
The Boner.
Oh, he
this
didn't.
Morning, officially, President Obama's biatch.
He did not look good yesterday.
No. Did he look a special shade of orange?
Yes, he did. And sweaty and, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Do we have, here he is, the Boner.
No, it's the fact that we don't have 218 votes.
Lost the House.
When you don't have 218 votes, you have nothing.
I have nothing. I have no work in the tavern.
Somebody stepped on my tail.
Oh, my goodness, what a fuss you're making.
Yeah, he really was Eeyore, wasn't he?
He was.
Lost the House, Pope.
Yeah.
You try getting the 218 votes with these Nimrods.
He looked a special kind of angry.
Did he?
Yes, and jaundiced.
Really?
If an orange person can look jaundiced.
Wow.
Yeah.
How can you tell?
Sort of tangerine, really.
Yeah. Tangerine.
There are those orange carrots. Yeah, the yellow carrots.
He is all they say.
No, he looked like one of your a cauliflower.
Oh, orange. The orange cauliflower I get just for variety?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. There he is again.
Understand. It's the president driving up the debt. And the president wanting to do nothing about debt that's occurring, will not engage in our long-term spending problem. And so let his party give him the debt sealant increase that he wants.
Oh, my God. There was a lot of brown liquor last night, I'm just guessing, right?
Yeah.
That was...
It's his fault.
Where's the door slam? This is... We have the actual sound effects that we had from last time. This is all everybody heard there. Mr. Speaker, can we talk... I just had a question about...
I have that sound effect.
There you go.
I'm on my third bottle of bourbon. Shut up.
He turned his beer hat into a bourbon hat. Yes. He just didn't even want to bother with a glass. He's like... Here.
Keep him coming.
Harry Reid's sticking the shiv in.
I commend Speaker Boehner
for
doing the right thing. I put nothing past the Tea Party-driven Republican Congress.
Oh, you know what else he may have just done, according to the Daily Beast?
What?
Did Boehner just lock in a Democratic Senate?
What?
Thank you, sir. Nicely done.
Well done, you.
How would he do that?
Thank you for asking in that chirpy, informational sidekick voice.
No problem.
You are really ridiculous.
And you say it has no calories?
Sham, wow. When House Speaker Boehner announced on Thursday that comprehensive immigration reform was unlikely to pass this year, the news sunk Democrats in the House and Senate who would spend well over a year working on the bill, but it may prove to be a lifeline. Why? Because Democrats in the Senate are facing an awfully difficult electoral environment in which to defend their majority. Base voters, especially Latinos, they were saying this may motivate them on a typically, you know, low turnout normally on an election year. David Friedlander writes this in the Daily Beast. Politically, it's in their immediate short-term interest to do so due to the latest round of redistricting. Most Republicans, though, are in districts with very few Democrats, let alone Latinos. So passing immigration reform could open them up to getting, teabagged from the right. Mm-hmm. So... that's why they're saying immigration reform has collapsed.
Generally, get teabagged from above.
We'll find out this weekend at Sexy Liberal Phoenix.
Happened once in college. And listen, GOP's dance around a comprehensive immigration reform bill, holding out on a list of principles 1 week, announcing the bill is dead the next week, could energize the Latino base in a way that merely letting a bill wither would not have. So really. Really nicely done. And then Chuck Schumer stuck it to him on Meet the Press. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He said, how about we do a deal, but then it doesn't kick in until after the black guy's gone. If you're worried about enforcement and the black guy screwing everything up, wait till the black guy goes. You know, Morgan Freeman.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I mean, you know, Samuel Jack. You know who I mean. President Obama.
Ving Rhames.
Yeah. By the way, Snopes says that quote is not Morgan Freeman.
What? Not a Snopes.
Snopes? Not a bunch of Snopes.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're a gold medalist Japanese figure skater?
No?
I missed it.
None of that is true.
I missed it. I don't put my headphones on until
Japanese
right now.
Figures.
You can play
skater.
Again.
You're,
I didn't.
You
were
not. Here we go.
Okay.
Stephanie Miller.
You're a gold medalist Japanese figure skater?
Okay. Now I heard it. Okay.
Well, Japanese hair straightening. But other than that,
yes, exactly.
It's wildly
all
off
right.
The mark.
A moment of silence or sad trombone for Bodie Miller. Wasn't he my future husband at one point because he skis drunk?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, Sean White didn't do too well either.
The flying tomato.
He
smooshed.
He doesn't like to be called that
no?
anymore because he's a grown-up.
Right.
Tomate volante.
When he was 19, he loved it.
Whatever.
He's 27
like when we
now.
We had to start calling Ricky Schroeder Rick. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He's gone back to Ricky.
Oh, has he?
Yes, he has.
Is he giving up the ghost on that?
Yeah, Don Osmond tried that for a while, too. Didn't take.
Yeah, and sort of Deborah Gibson.
Oh, how'd
like,
that
come
go?
On, Deb. You're Debbie. Come
oh,
on,
you're
stop
Debbie.
It.
Come on, just stop it. Stop it. This is hard.
Little Debbie.
Stop it. This is hard. Right. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This
right.
is hard.
Right. Let's go to Carl in Nashville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
You know, the, first of all, you all definitely need to come here in Nashville, man. It is, they have two venues here that would just be perfect. And yes, they have two here.
Wow.
I hear they have many theaters in Nashville.
Well, they do, but the two in particular would really fit you all. I mean, they're right downtown, easy accessible. I'm telling you guys, you all would sell out in a heartbeat. They're starving for anything liberal in this red Ruby City.
And we'll drag Shelly Wright with us too, and be like, ha ha, we got a gay too.
Yeah. Listen, the John Boehner thing, what he did yesterday pretty much confirmed what I always knew to be true. That for the past 5 years, the Republican Party, in particular the leadership, have used the teabaggers' energy to push their agenda, and they have only obstructed and got in the way of everything of this presidency to slow down everything, even good things for the country, to get that power in their favor. And just when they noticed that the teabaggers were costing them, as far as pushing them in the corner to shut down the government and getting our credit rating lowered because of the debt ceiling fights, they cut them and pushed them over the bow of the ship so fast and cut ties with them. Because what we've been hearing from Boehner, we can't bring anything to a vote unless the majority want it.
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden, the last few months, he's becoming accustomed of bringing things to the floor even when the majority don't want it on the floor. They're cutting ties with the Tea Party because they know that they've been a cancer to the Republican brand, period.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I love that people were spinning this as some sort of victory yesterday that, okay, for, you know, just not holding the debts, full faith and credit hostage again. Oh, okay, well, this is, I mean, it's just like that's accomplishing something, right?
No, we see right through people that's been paying attention to what they've been doing and the cynical Republican Party leadership. And what they've been doing to the Tea Party, to the Hicks here, and especially here in Nashville and other southern states, Tennessee around the, you know, the old Confederacy, they use you. You are rubes. You are pawns on their chessboard to be pushed aside at their whim. And good for them. And hopefully they'll see that John Boehner is nothing to them and fight.
There
fight,
you go.
Fight.
Fight.
Have a
fight.
Good one, guys.
All right. Thank you, honey. All right. Extra points for using the word rube.
Sure.
Just saying. Our friend Michael Tomasky in the Daily Beast, the era of Republican hostage taking is over, is his headline.
Yep.
Standing firm works on a huge Obama win. Huge.
Huge.
GOP caves on the debt limit. So word comes down this morning, John Boehner and company are going to present to the House a clean bill to increase the debt ceiling, no demands, no strings. A House Republican who was in the room for the speaker's announcement described the response as stunned silence.
That's what happens when you ally yourself with anarchists.
Right. We don't get anarchy anymore. What?
You're doing too much, not enough.
Yeah. Representative,
do more of it less.
Right. Representative Xavier Becerra.
This feels like Alice in Wonderland. Totally upside down. The majority is supposed to be the party that moves us forward because they run the ship.
Right. Let's go to Bradford in Tempe. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brad.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Gang. I want to talk about Michael Sam. Why is the NFL freaking out? He had his teammates in college in a red state, 18, 19, and 20-year-old, seem to have no problem with grown adults all over the country who are playing football are having a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
because the kids don't care about the gay stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the older coaches and executives.
Bradford, we're going to talk to Chris Cluey about this, and he said that's what he told Michael Sam. He said, you know, the players aren't going to have a problem. He said it's the older white guys in the organ, you know, that run all these guys, these cowards that spoke anonymously about this, right?
Yeah, but the coaches in Missouri are older, too. They didn't seem to have a problem.
Well, I don't know that the NFL is freaking out. In fact, a lot of people have come forward, right? John Elway and I can't remember who else. I mean, there's been a lot of
people. Green Bay Packers have come forward. The San Diego Chargers have come forward saying, hey, we'd love this guy. So
Yeah. So it's just
that. Carlos made a good point yesterday. They were ranked fifth in the country. They were 12-2. So obviously Michael Sam did not interfere with the chemistry of that team.
Right.
And
yeah.
If I were an owner or executive, I'd have two questions. Can he fill a need, and do we need him? And that would be it.
Yep.
I wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Chris Cluey said.
Yeah. Bradford, I was mentioning yesterday, I just, by chance, I've just become friends with the NFL commissioner's brother, who's gay and has been with his husband 30 years. And I guess he was on ESPN yesterday, my friend. And he was saying he's met a lot of people in the business through his brother, obviously. And he said they're businessmen. He said this isn't going to matter.
Yep, the only thing that matters is money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so let's hope that...
Money changes everything.
Yeah.
According to Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Really? You know, if I were a rich girl... All right. That's Gwen Stefani,
That's Gwen
right?
Stefani.
Yeah, that's totally different. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Let's move on like that didn't happen.
It's also Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, I heard about this. So I heard it was on HuffPost. The headline is, Is Rush losing it?
Yes, he is.
You've mentioned this before. Like some subjects lately, he just sounds
scrambly.
Confused.
Yeah.
A little scrambly.
He doesn't know how to approach it with a changing world.
It's like he's had a head injury or something. Or maybe overdosed on OxyContin.
That's a distinct possibility.
It seems like my particular brand of homophobia, racism, doesn't seem to be selling, and I'm not certain how to, in this new paradigm.
I was paraphrasing.
Thanks,
new paradigm where racism is suddenly a bad thing. I don't.
What happened? What?
Okay, here he is.
Why is homosexuality political? Why is there a political aspect to or agenda associated with homosexuality? And why does heterosexuality have no political agenda at all? You say heterosexuality may be 95-98% of population. They're under assault by the 2-5% that are homosexual.
Assault by a minority?
In what way? Really? Did he go on to...
What kind of assault, really? See, if you're the underdog,
it's shoving it down your throat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. See, now that I've discovered ProgressiveVoices.com,
yes.
TuneIn app, iHeart, I've freed myself. That's the first time I've heard that in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listen to my...
Why is it political?
I listen to my Ed Schultz and my Randy Rhodes. And, yeah. Is that what it's gotten to?
That's what it's gotten to. Seeds and stems. That's what that
is. He didn't say how the majority of straight people are under assault now?
No. By shoving it down your throat, Stephanie.
Oh, I see. Must they always use that phrase?
They seem to be stuck on throats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we played, who was it, Todd Starnes yesterday.
No, we didn't play him.
Well, he said the gays, Jim, have ruined not only, wait a minute, let me...
The Rose Parade?
Right, parade.
Because the gays have never been involved with the Rose Parade before.
Music, the Grammys, the gay weddings. What else did he say? Well, now football, obviously.
And sports.
And musical theater.
Right. And more importantly, just generally fun. Todd Starnes says the gays...
Look, the homosexuals are coming to me.
Look, they have taken, we used to be able to have nice things.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Right, now we can't have nice straight things anymore. They've killed the fun.
They have totally ruined the Tonys.
All right. Oh, goodness. More good news. The good news just keeps piling. Whoa, looky there. Chrissy Bridge scandal, recipients of 18 new subpoenas.
Whoa.
Revealed. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yikes.
The state legislative committee investigating the GW Bridge scandal will issue 18 new subpoenas. Wow, that's a lot, including to Governor Chris Christie's office.
Oops.
His inner circle and officials at Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. Recipients include the State Police Aviation Unit. I guess there was that little... flyover somewhere. I don't know. They don't know if he was looking at the bridge or what he was doing.
Oh, look, there's a traffic jam. Huh, who could have seen that coming?
Sucks to be caught in that.
Woo, I got my own helicopter. they oversee Christie's helicopter travel. First of all, him in a helicopter. Think about that for a second.
Stop it.
How many other people can
get
in?
Stop it.
Would you? You know what? I'll get the next one. I'll get the ferry.
This... chopper's having a little trouble getting off the ground for some reason.
Why is it rocking? Like, uh-oh.
Oh, boy. We're listening to starboard. Hang
on. Cards and letters go to Stephanie and Jim.
All right. Anyway, they went to a bunch of people. It doesn't matter. A bunch of people in his inner his inner circle. Although for him, they're a little farther away, so they're more like an outer circle because you can't, you know what I mean?
Can't get too close. Sure.
Right.
You get caught in this event
horizon.
Maybe
that's why. Maybe that's why he didn't know what was going on, because his inner circle is, you know, they're like over there.
His inner circle is an event horizon.
Just don't get caught in this event horizon and be sucked into the black hole and just crushed down to... Have you mentioned he shops at the Van Allen belt store?
He may need a bullhorn even for his inner circle to hear him. They look like a ring of Saturn. You know what I mean? Like they're
my inner circle is pretty much my outer circle right now.
Are you done?
Okay. I'm done. Yep. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Very interesting, but stupid.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Miller.
So I'm crazy. I really don't care. That's my prerogative. They say I'm nasty, but I don't give a damn.
Get busy.
Eat it. Go to Meeting by HD Faces. We love it. By Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and complete? Collaborate with your team. You complete me. That's what I was thinking.
Really?
Uh-huh. Collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. You know what I'm going to have a GoToMeeting with John Fugelsang about?
What?
Look at Flint the Pomeranian. It smiles on cue. It's too much. You've been looking at bear slippers during the entire commercial
I want
break.
Some bear claw slippers.
Really? This is not... I don't know what has happened to this news organization. I do know one thing. Speaking of things that fascinate us on the internet,
what?
Bruce Jenner will do anything to stay on the website menwholooklikeoldlesbians.com. What is going on with Bruce Jenner? See, I don't.
That's what?
If he's if he's transitioning, we support him.
But they say he's not. See, now that would. Because you remember I had his picture in my locker in high school.
Yeah.
See, I could grow up to marry Bruce Jenner if, in fact, you know.
He transitions.
He's transitioning. Hmm. See, I knew there was a reason I had a crush on him. He was out and about on Monday in L.A. with a new shaved Adam's apple and a very popular women's hairstyle, which he looked. He could have substituted for Billie Jean King because he does look a lot like Billie Jean King now.
Yeah, those glasses that he's wearing aren't doing him any favors. And might I suggest a bra? He's getting some man boobs.
I could realize my dream of marrying Bruce Jenner, although he may not be Bruce then. And then, see?
Brianna.
There's a happy ending.
Brianna Jenner.
Right.
Belinda Jenner.
Don't scoff at anything, everything beautiful in my life. Every possibility. Okay.
You may get your chance with...
We could go get married in an Elvis chapel because Nevada state officials have stopped defending same-sex sex marriage ban in appeal.
Yep.
That's kind of a big deal. I'm telling you, dominoes falling like a bunch of big gay dominoes. Nevada state officials will no longer defend the state's amendment banning same-sex couples from marrying against legal challenge. Both the governor and the attorney general's office announced on Monday. Wowee. Some of them, they're red states.
Yep.
Right?
Well, Nevada's purple-ish.
Right. Thank God someone is trying to protect us from the Girl Scouts, however.
Why?
Well, cookies in particular.
Why do we need to be protected from Girl Scout
two,
cookies?
Two right-wing organizations boycotting Girl Scout cookies over yoga, climate change, and lesbian role models.
What? Yoga? Yoga's exercise.
Right-wing two right-wing
the devil's exercise.
Right, right, right. They're boycotting the Girl Scouts for such offenses as tweeting a HuffPost Live video in which someone mentioned Wendy Davis. Should guess you can't.
Oh, come on. Really?
Promoting ardent feminist writers, marching in a gay pride parade, and incorporating labyrinths. Global warming, yoga, avatars.
Labyrinths?
Smudging incense, zen gardens, and lesbian role models into their teachings.
Wow.
When does
somebody's
labyrinths
got way
become...
too much time in their hands.
Labyrinths?
Is it a David Bowie movie?
I don't know. You know who's on this? Tony Perkins, of course.
Oh.
No, Mother Blood, no!
Right.
Not that one.
You can't seem to get to your things. Okay. The American Family Association, that guy.
Yeah.
sent an email to its members last week urging them to just say no thank you when a Girl Scout comes to their door selling cookies.
What if anyone in his family has ever practiced yoga or eaten yogurt?
Or listen to Yo-Yo Ma.
Or watched Yogi Bear.
Okay.
Or ate Yo-Play.
He said it's hard to say no to these little girls in the green and brown sashes, writes AFA President Tim Wildman. But buying Girl Scout cookies serves only to further facilitate a very liberal pro-abortion agenda.
Yes. I always thought gauchos were pro-abortion.
That's what Mint Milano actually means.
Mint Girl Scouts don't sell mint Milanos.
Which ones do they sell? What are the mint ones?
Thin Mints.
Thin Mints.
Mint Milanos
thin
are Peppered
Mints
Farm.
Thin Mints is code for abortion on demand. Sure. Everyone knows
remembers.
That.
And Samoas. Samoas are so good.
Mm. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, buddy.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
Hey, well, one thing that, to be honest, is about Michael Sam, is he faces a real problem in the NFL, and has nothing to do with sexuality. It's his size. He's 6'2", 250.
Right.
And if he's going to play defensive line, which is the position he plays in college, the guys across the line from him, offensive linemen, they average about 6'5", 6'6", about 340.
Mm.
And so he's going to have a real – so he'll have to play a new position like linebacker or something in the pros.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if he falls in the draft, it might have nothing to do with his sexuality. It's the fact of just need. It's a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, and, although, you know, he's a, what was he, All-American.
American.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a really competitive league, yeah. I mean, I'm
sure,
just...
Sure, he was All-American, and he was a Defensive Player of the Year, but just because you're a great player in college does not mean you're going to be a great player in the pro. Look at Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing, but he looks like he's got the skills and everything, but he'll have to play a different position. You can ask Mr. Cluey about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's always rugby.
Oh, yeah, but
he can dance like a mofo. TMZ has a video of him dancing shirtless at a gay bar in Missouri.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy, that's the thing. We're never going to know, right? And you know people are going to say they use that as an excuse if it is homophobia, right?
Well, it could be. You know, I think, you know, undoubtedly that there's gay people always been in the NFL. You know, I wish him well. You know, he might be skilled enough where he can play multiple positions. But I think as a society, when he makes it or doesn't make it because of his skill level and not having anything to do with his sexuality, you know, we move on.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tommy. We will talk to Chris Cluey about it and see what he thinks. Because, you know,
a half hour from now.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously they give a lot of reasons why they like Chris Cluey go. And they're like, oh, well, you know, his numbers have fallen and this and that. I mean, he still is one of the best punters and had some of the best stats in the league. And so, obviously, he feels it clearly was, you know, part of that. And he, by the way, made a great point. Of course, he wrote a piece and he said, why is Michael Sam considered a distraction?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you were saying, there's all these guys that get convicted of all kinds of things. Gun crimes, domestic violence, drug stuff. And really? That's
animal cruelty?
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's just a Southern thing, according to Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah, Michael Vick, hello. There's all sorts
that's
of
that's what
stuff.
I was referring
right,
to.
Right, exactly. I'm sorry. Well, see, you can't get anything by me. Nobody help me. Okay. All right. Oh, the cartoon birds are back. Tell Peggy Newton I'll return them to her by noon. Okay. All right, so... Minnesota Vikings, former Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Cluey, and of course Bob Seska of the Daily Banter in hour number three as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to
You always look startled to be on your own show.
I am. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Former Minnesota's Vikings punter, Chris Glueye, at the bottom of the hour to talk about Michael Sam, Bob Seska of the Daily Banter, whom we love, coming up next hour. All right. Oh, it's the lovey letter.
Oh.
Looky here, from Diana in Ontario. That's in Canada.
Either that or a suburb of Los Angeles.
No, she means the one in Canada.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. OMG, OMG, listening to the podcast, $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Thanks. Oh, sorry, I meant to do that one. No crickets. You don't get any crickets. How's that food, Jim? Is that good? Okay. When I heard Becky in Chicago say she was the official certified veterinary technician of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh.
Oh, actually, I could have done that for that one because I don't know if they treat crickets, but...
Probably not.
It's like Foley gone wrong. Well, now that I've graduated from vet school, I'm really ready and truly able to be the official militant veterinarian of the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm not all that far from Chicago. Surely Becky and I can meet up at some point, perhaps at a Chicago sexy liberal show. Can we make that happen? P.S. Fred and Max are handsome and romantic. That's how you know you're going to get your letter read. Right. Yeah, go to Chicago. Come on.
Chicago. In the coming months, let's see where we can make progress together. Let's make this a year of... Let's make this a year of sexy liberals. That's what most Americans want.
That's right. Land of Lincoln, home of our president. On April 26th, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its triumphant return to Chicago.
It should read, tonight only...
Stephanie Miller's
triumphant return.
John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and progressive radio and television star Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com and at the Chicago Theater box office. Don't miss Stephanie Miller's own twist on Chicago-style politics.
Politics ain't beanbag.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live April 26th at the Chicago Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
All right. Yay. Get it. Yep. And don't forget all the upcoming. This is the very first Sexy Liberal 2014. The whole Sexy Liberal family will be there. Jim Ward, Chris Lavoie, John and Carlos. Everybody will be in Phoenix for the very first one this Saturday. Very few tickets left. Fort Lauderdale coming up in 2 weeks, March 1st. Madison already sold out in March. Then Chicago up in April. And Albuquerque in May. And yet another announcement Friday.
Yep.
Wow. All right. Oh, look, more love letters, technologically based. Beverly says, I lost you in Los Angeles, then I searched high low and I found you. I listened through the interwebs on TuneIn, you complete me.
Aww.
I will find you!
That's what happened, no matter what occurred, she found me.
Yep.
Listen, if you know I'm with the technology, people, get with it. I didn't know an armband could free me like that. Don't make a Nazi joke. It's an armband that holds my phone.
You're one of those people that wears an armband, aren't you?
When I hike, I have two leashes. I have the TuneIn app you put on my phone.
Uh-huh.
The ProgressiveVoices.com. I have some of my other fine stations in there.
Right.
I have the iHeart app so I can listen to my Randy Rhodes.
Yep.
17 after.
Yeah, so I know what time it is. See, you don't have a watch. I have Randy. Okay, anyway, because we have the mic, 92.1 FM in Madison, our fabulous station, 880 AM Revolution
yep.
in Asheville, North Carolina, 1350 out of Albuquerque I listen to
yep.
almost every day on iHeart as well, when I'm not on Progressive Voices. Bill in Sonoma, I love a man from wine country.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Stepta.
Wine country.
I thought we were going to Florida.
My glass is empty.
Ryan's Primus wants to go in wine country.
He's already there.
Oh, we're just wondering if the whole family sounds like, hi, Mrs. Primus. I'd be whiny if I was Mrs. Primus.
Well, who wouldn't?
Thanks for getting on with Progressive Voices. Not only does it allow me to continue to stream your show to ease the pain of waking up and the collapse of the L.A. station, L.A., four right-wing stations now.
Yep.
But it's given me a way to listen to Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and others. Still finding voices I like here, especially when I can't sleep. Who knows what voices in your head those are at that
Mike Malloy helps you sleep?
He's very soothing to some people.
Okay. All right. He can be a little
He's
loud.
He's like your id. You don't have to do it. He'll do it for you.
He can be loud.
Right. I've also ordered through ProFlowers at least a couple times with your order code thingy.
Which would be Stephanie.
Is the code. Right.
Which yes.
All right. Oh, my God. We didn't get to this. In honor of the 18 new subpoenas in the Chris Christie Bridgegate thing.
Yep.
Did you see this? We missed this yesterday. The most New Jersey correction ever. Mediaite brings us. If all you know about New Jersey is what you've seen on The Sopranos and Boardwalk Empire, well, you wouldn't be far off from the real thing. So when you see this classic correction in the Star Ledger, it's pretty clear this is the most New Jersey correction ever. The paper posted a profile of Chris Christie, spokesman known for his profanity-laced tirades about stories he deems unflattering or unfair to Christie. For example, the Star Ledger reported in one of the Bridgegate emails he called Port Authority Executive Director Patrick Foy a piece of crap.
Okay.
That's where this correction came in, this only in New Jersey correction. An earlier version of the story incorrectly stated Drunick referred to the Port Authority Executive Director as a piece of crap. While Drunick did call him a piece of excrement, it was David Wildstein who referred to the executive director as a piece of crap.
Gotcha.
Well, that changes everything.
Okay.
How's that for a correction? Not only did he need to clarify the exact language of what kind of human body waste Foy was referred to as, but the fact that he apparently confused the one guy who called him a piece of crap with the other guy who called him a piece of crap.
Gotcha.
Classic Jersey.
Maybe that sound rips a bone from your back.
I've heard
it's
that.
A death trap. It's a suicide one.
Yeah, yeah.
You really got to get out while you're young.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And I'm sure maybe these 18 subpoenas, Chris, will get to the Christie code that we have discussed, which is, you know, from Sopranos, right, or The Godfather. They don't ever say, could you go please kill that gentleman for me? Or why don't you shut down the George Washington Bridge? There's a code. Time to take Big Pussy for a boat ride. You know what I'm saying? You can play the game at home.
Did we ever determine where that nose thing came from?
I think Ariana needs to go take a ride to see Christopher.
I think it means...
Yeah, an accident, and she's about to have one, too. Yes.
You're going to be blown away, is the idea, I think. Yeah.
I don't know. Now I've forgotten what everybody said that means.
Or
but,
blown up.
It's a mob thing.
We have to do with blowing.
Was that ever done in a mob movie or TV show?
Yeah, I think it was. We covered this last time, and now I've totally forgotten.
All right.
All right.
I think it was in Roger Rabbit.
Ah,
what? Right. Thank you.
No.
Please.
Yeah. One of the weasels did it.
No, that's not correct.
No? Okay.
Okay. I mentioned this last hour, but I love this. This is a party in disarray, the Republican Party. Carl wrote to Rand Paul, enough already, with Monica Lewinsky. What are you doing, you numbskull?
Why, I oughta.
It's one of the only times I'm ever going to agree with Carl Rove. I'm like, shh, don't give him good advice. Go with that.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, as everybody said, isn't that just going to backfire big time? People felt sympathy for Hillary, but she didn't do what?
Yeah, towards the end
that's
of the...
That's when her approval...
Right, and towards the end of the scandal, that's when Bill Clinton had the highest approval ratings of his career. It
right.
was like 75%
right.
or something like that.
And now Rand Paul's like, anyone that has Bill Clinton funded, they need to give the money back.
Yeah.
Nice try. Yeah. Yeah, Karl Rove has some advice for Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Mm-hmm. If
he
you're
needs
gonna
to get
run...
his money back from that toupee.
Right. That's something you might want to check into. Is it supposed to go like this in the shower? If you're going to run for president, stop talking about Monica Lewinsky. He said, I'm not sure Paul has a strategy. Rove also claimed a candidate needs to run on something bigger than that. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Really, that's your plan for the
yeah.
country is BJ's and Benghazi, which sounds like a morning show that was on in San Diego.
BJ's Benghazi.
Right. There was, I remember we were talking about this yesterday, and there was a show, I wasn't hallucinating, when I was Sister Sleaze on the Brother Wee's Morning Circus on WCMF in Rochester, there was a show with BJ in it. BJ and somebody.
And the bear?
No.
No, that's a different thing entirely, but there was, see?
Hmm. I think it might be a Brillo pad on Rand Paul's
And
head.
Monica Lewinsky did, in fact, do a morning radio show for a minute when she got famous.
For like 2 days.
Right, and that was the joke, is whether that was
right.
the show.
Oh, I listened okay. to that bit. No, we cannot play it on
no?
the air.
No? Oh, good. Well, thanks for screening that.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for protecting me from myself. He said, frankly, Rand Paul spending a lot of time talking about the mistakes of Bill Clinton does not look like a big agenda for the future of the country. I'm not certain, again, that beating up Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky is a particularly good thing to strengthen your skills for the 2016 contest.
Probably not. No, no, it's a great idea. It's good what you've done, Anthony. It's real good. We love TV Night, Anthony.
Carl, it's real good what you did, Rand. Keep going. I hate it when he gives good advice.
Yeah.
Hush. Ugh. Yeah, by the way, this is Jamel Bowie in the Daily Beast wrote, Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah.
Why Clinton attacks won't work this time. But he keeps trying it, doesn't he? He keeps dragging that
he
thing
does.
Out every week, Rand Paul. How about this? Republicans are still working on their argument against Hillary Clinton, but it's clear they will rely on the sense that there's Clinton fatigue. We've heard this, right? this is part of what, you know, Chuck Todd thinks David Gregory might think if he asked.
Cokie Roberts.
What she thought she was thinking.
Can they get a new cast of characters on every single one of those
Dear
Sunday
God
shows?
In heaven,
it's
yeah.
the same
this is what
people
Charlie Pierce
every
writes
week.
About so entertainingly every week. But it's clear that, yeah, they'll rely on that Hillary and her husband have been in the public eye too long. Americans want to choose from a new generation of leaders. Mm-hmm. Yada, 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 yada.
A big gap between the Clinton administration.
Right, and that's what they're saying, that it's the strategy, not Clinton, which is behind the times. First of all, just text from Hillary alone has made her wildly popular with the kids. That was hilarious. A large plurality.
Plurality?
What is wrong with you?
Listen, wouldn't you feel bad if I just had a little brain-related event then, and you just mocked me like that? You try saying plurality.
Plurality.
All right. All right, I lost that one.
Okay.
You're smelling burnt toast or anything like that?
Yeah, oranges.
Oh, I did burn toast. Wait a minute. Oh, no, okay. Well, it's Pedwunsen. Okay.
That's enough.
And 46% of people who voted in 2012 are between the ages of 18 and 44. The oldest of these voters were in their 20s during the Clinton administration, and given the Democratic turn among young voters during the 1990s, this is just all bad news demographically for Republicans, are likely to support the former First Lady in a future election. The middle cohort of these voters, Americans in their 20s, were alive in the 1990s but not politically aware.
Wow, the president got a BJ. Cool.
These are people. Bill Clinton got more high fives than anyone.
White House tour. Everyone's high-fiving.
But they're not politically aware. These are people whose views were shaped during the Bush administration, and they're largely Democratic. And for the youngest of these voters, they weren't even alive during the Clinton years, and if they were, they were small children. For them, Monica Lewinsky is a reference in a history book, and Hillary Clinton is a presidential candidate and a powerful official. Simply, they don't even remember her being First Lady, first of all.
Right.
Simply put, if Hillary Clinton runs for president and she is the Democratic nominee, she'll have a chance to reintroduce herself to an electorate that's younger than it was in 2012 and filled with people nearly a majority who have no memory of her prior time in the White House. Indeed, if anything, given the text from Hillary meme, see, I'm a woman a good paragraph or two ahead of my time. Outweigh her residual political baggage. Anyway, good stuff in the Daily Beast. Well, that's what's going to be, Jim, for the next, how long do we have till the election? It's going to be what does Chuck Todd think about what David Gregory thinks? Cokie Roberts.
Cokie Roberts thinks about.
Right.
What
Peggy Noonan might have thought.
Right.
When Reagan was alive.
When the
Peggy Noonan has nothing going on in there.
I returned the cartoon birds to her, by the way. I don't know how they got here. I was, Peggy's going to miss those. Okay.
I bet you she can pronounce plurality.
No, she cannot with the amount of Chardonnay that I can tell she drinks. In fact, that'd be a good drinking contest for both of us, the birds. You try. Okay, you try. Okay. 20 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Chris Cluey coming right up as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Minnesota Vikings former punter Chris Cluey coming up at the bottom of the hour. My friend sent me, you know, a text, and, you know, it says sent from my whatever.
Yeah.
And it says sent from my new iPhone 7. And then it says, don't panic. There's no new iPhone 7 yet. It was just a with you.
Oh.
So people would panic and go, I don't have an iPhone 7.
I still have a 3G.
Do you really?
Yeah. Oh.
It's Steam driven.
Oh, Jim, that's totes adorable.
No wonder I can't iMessage you.
Okay. Dudes, check this out. Teenage dolphins are chewing on puffer fish to get high. It's from the science stack.
Okay, sure.
Hey, dude, check out this puffer fish.
Oh, pass the puffer.
They do.
They do. They pass it around.
Do they really?
In case you need any more evidence, the dolphins are just like us. Trademark. Dolphins, they're just like us. Scientists are now observed them deliberately altering their mental states by chewing on toxic puffer fish. Dolphins are getting wasted, you guys.
Oh,
even better, they totally pass the fish around like a joint, and it is adorable. Scientists found dolphins apparently have learned just how much of the toxin would safely intoxicate them, and they carefully chew the fish and pass it around among themselves.
Wow.
Huh. And then they enter into a trance-like
state. I've always said if they had opposable thumbs, they'd rule the earth.
But they'd be adorable.
And the Japanese would be scared.
Dude, let's go to sushi and do some slop style. Oh. Yeah, that's awesome. That is really awesome. Let's see. After chewing the puffer gently and passing it around, they began acting most peculiarly, hanging around with their noses at the surface as if it fascinated by their own reflection.
Pass the puffer on the left-hand side.
Check this out. I'm a dolphin, dude. Look.
Yeah, look at my nose. It's so weird.
Oh.
Look like Spiro Agnew.
All right. I do not believe that any dolphins know what Spiro Agnew is like, Jim. He just went one step too far.
Do you get the angry
By the way, who's the stoner snowboarder that won? He's hilarious.
Oh,
dude, I was totally having some munchies last night before my run.
Yeah. So he had onion rings.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And he did the Olympic rings with his
Yeah, he Instagrammed a picture of his, right. his onion rings in the shape of the Olympic rings. Like, that's rather awesome.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, you're good.
Yeah, they asked, were you training last? Did you training run? No, I did. I was totally hanging out, eating some snacks. Hilarious. Mark in Toledo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Good. Hey, I'm
totally high on pufferfish.
We're high on pufferfish.
Carl Rove, Rand Paul, trying to explain to him about how Monica Lewinsky is bad. Is anybody ever going to explain to him that he's never going to be president of the United States?
Yeah, I love that. Did you see the clip? Remember when he was questioning Hillary Clinton in one of the zillion Benghazi hearings, and he said, "If I were president,"
yeah,
and
it
I think
almost
John
makes
Stewart
laugh looking at him.
Yeah, John Stewart played that clip and went, "Dude, dude," he's like, "If I were president, I would have fired you."
And in his mind, it's like, "Hey, my dad named me after a psychopath from the 50s that he loved." So
you know, Hillary Clinton was
great.
still coming out of being ill at that point. I was hoping she was hopped up on something and she would be like, "Yeah, well, if my aunt had a, she'd be my uncle." Don't you wish? Don't you wish? Just saying. All right, hey, I'm going to give you a $50 Sherry's Berries gift certificate. What do you think of that? There.
That's pretty nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, pretty.
Oh,
pretty.
Oh. He sounded stoked.
Dude. Okay. Travis, get his info. You have won a $50 gift card to Sherry's Berries. Visit berries.com. Click on that microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in Stephanie. I just did it yesterday. They're delicious.
Yeah. All right.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Chris Cluey next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Based on her texts, she's dirty, dyslexic, and wants to 96 me. Semicolon and parentheses.
Hey, I think that Johnny Cougar's got a future.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, Chris Cluey, our good friend, wrote a, I love his headline. Chris Cluey, calling Michael Sam a distraction is like saying Richard Sherman is a thug, which is the other, yep. You know, big controversy in the NFL. Recently, former Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Cluey joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's good. We have talked about this stuff so much, but, I mean, this really is a big deal, isn't it, Michael Sam?
Yeah, it is. It's a great step forward, and it's great to see that he's excited and confident about going forward. And I think now we're all waiting to see, just what happens during the combine, during the draft, and if he does get a fair chance to compete for a job.
Well, you were, I guess, Saturday night here in L.A., there were a handful of athletes and others in the sports world that got together for a party. Mm-hmm. And you and Michael, you were there, right? And Michael Sam was there. And tell me what your conversation was like.
It was really good. Got a chance to talk with him and basically tell him that, hey, this is the kind of stuff you might face in the locker room where, by and large, players are going to be on each side. There might be a couple guys here and there who you know, are jerks about it. But for the most part, players won't have any issues. It's really going to be coaches and front office management that are going to be, you know, what we have to look out for. And I think you see that in the Sports Illustrated piece. But also just to give them support. Say, hey, you know, there's people behind you. There's people who support you.
Chris, do you have a Sports Illustrated sports sneaker phone?
Is the connection not good?
That's not great, but that's okay. So, you know, he obviously talked about how his teammates have known, for a while and supported him from day one. You made a good point that a lot of people, you know, noted too, is that here he is to having the courage to step out publicly and talk about this, and all of these NFL people were all quoted anonymously.
Yeah, and really it's funny because the GMs and the coaches are always getting on the players saying, hey, don't be the anonymous source in the locker room. If you say something, put your name on it. You know, keep it within the team. And then here they are coming out and speaking anonymously on something like this. And essentially, you know, outing themselves as bigoted, but they know they can't put their names behind it because they'll face backlash because people understand that discrimination is wrong.
Well, and some of it, you know, it felt so archaic to me. You quote the one that said it's still football's still a man's man game, and it'll chemically imbalance an NFL locker room, right? I mean, you're like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. Is like Donald Draper now an NFL executive? I mean, what's going on?
Well, you were saying that, you know, in your article, you said you weren't surprised by some of these comments in Sports Illustrated, and you made a distinction for him, right? You said if he runs into opposition, it's not going to be the players. It's going to be the, as you say, the front office and coaching staff who tend to be older and more traditional, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing that people sometimes forget is that in the NFL, the players are composed of young men out of college, and the average career in the NFL is only about 3 to 3.5 years, so you get a lot of turnover, and what that does is it allows you to see changes happening in society much quicker than in other places because you always have that younger generation coming in. And in the front office and coaching staff, those guys are there for a while, and a lot of them tend to be older white men who were raised in the 60s and 70s,
right.
And you know, they have a very specific viewpoint.
You know, Chris, you made a really interesting point. You said you can look at all these quotes in the article. They could very easily have been lifted from a paper right around the time Jackie Robinson was entering Major League Baseball. They're almost word for word. And you say, it's like, wait a minute, we've had this struggle before. We already know how it turns out. Why are we doing this again? I mean, that is, yeah, that is so true, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously it's not a exact case similarity, but it's very close in that. There is this nameless opposition, worries that, oh, it's going to divide the locker room, and, you know, how are people going to deal with it? And that was exactly what was said about Jackie Robinson going into a locker room. And you know, it's really cowardly to say stuff like that when Michael Sam played his entire senior year at Missouri openly gay. His teammates obviously had no problem with it, and they went 12-2 and won their bowl game. It's like, well, if that's a distraction, why wouldn't you want that distraction on your team? Because that's a winning distraction.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, and, you know, I had a caller last hour, Chris, that was speculating on what might happen, that he is a little small for the position, right, that he's playing now, you know, for the NFL. I mean, you made an interesting point in your piece. You said discriminating, you know, against him because of his sexual orientation would violate the NFL's policy, but it would be difficult to prove that discrimination actually took place, right? You said many of them are smart enough not to put anything down in writing where they have an email chain or something like that. So what is your take on what you think is going to happen?
Well, I think what should happen is that he should be drafted where he was projected, you know, anywhere in the third to fifth round. And there is a legitimate point to be made that he's a little small for defensive end in the NFL because most of those guys tend to be a little bit taller. But at the same time, there have been shorter defensive ends that have succeeded. So that's one of those things that it's like, okay, yeah, it could be a problem, but if he plays at a high level, it won't be a problem.
Well, Chris, we talked about this when they let you go, that, I mean, it certainly seems you had one of the best records in the NFL, and, you know, it is hard to not think this had something to do with it. And as you say, interesting how they call somebody like you a distraction or Michael Sam a distraction, and they have all of these guys with domestic violence and gun violence and God knows what, right?
Right, and there's always that storyline in the NFL. There's always someone doing something, and if the league can survive, you know, Michael Vick and Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Hernandez and everything else it's dealt with in the past 5 years, then I'm pretty sure that Michael Sam isn't going to crush the NFL.
Well, I mean, the good news is, as you say, this is something that's going to be part of the NFL moving forward. But, you know, you say it is an important litmus test for closeted athletes coming out. You say a disappointing pick would tell us a lot about how the NFL is currently viewing the world. There's got to be, as you imply, there are a lot of players in the closet. They're going to see what happens here, right?
Yeah, and I would imagine for any player that's contemplating coming out, they're going to be watching very closely see what happens to Michael Sam, because they look at Jason Collins, and, you know, Jason Collins isn't with the team. They look at what happened with, you know, with Kerry Rhodes in the NFL, even, you know, allegations that he was gay, and he ended up not being with the team. And so I think they're going to watch this and say, okay, if Michael is given a fair chance, if he's allowed to compete and keep his job, then that means that we can come out. But if he's not, then we're risking, you know, we're risking too much.
Well, you know, boy, and it's hard to, you know, you hate to read the comment section or almost even go on Twitter because, you know, as you point out, Richard Sherman made the point very eloquently that, you know, thug is code for the N-word. I mean, you know, and obviously a lot of people on Twitter just went right with the N-word after that. And you think that absolutely was racism. I mean, it just, and in terms of homophobia, you go in there and read about this. How many times do you see the F-word for gay man? I mean, just over and over again. And, you know, you have to hope that the world is watching now. And you know, what we see in the Twitterverse is not what hopefully is you know, going to make these decisions, right?
Right. And that's something where I wouldn't put that much stock in online comment sections and Twitter because,
oh,
yeah, they're
well, listen,
yeah.
I just have to off myself if I thought the whole world
exactly.
was like that.
Yeah, never read the comments. But, yeah, if it's, you know, if it's, there are people out there who do believe that, but, you know, we are watching, and as a society, we have decided that discrimination is wrong, no matter what kind of discrimination it is, whether it's discrimination against religion, against skin color, or against sexuality. And so it's very much, this is a change that is happening. It's just going to take time.
Well, it is interesting. You know, that's why that point was so interesting you brought up about Jackie Robinson. Because, you know, we have this Virginia case, Chris, as you probably know, that could be the one that goes to the Supreme Court and gets, you know, marriage equality for the entire country. But interesting, because that's where the Loving case was. And, you know, advocates for marriage equality said the same thing. You can almost lift quotes verbatim that people said about interracial marriage and substituted in the gay marriage debate, right?
Right, and what is it? Those who fail history are doomed to repeat it.
Exactly,
that's right.
You know, it's very much a struggle that the human species has had almost the entirety of its existence, where one group of people wants to control another group of people, and eventually the group of people being oppressed or controlled says, we've had enough. We want to have the same rights and the same freedom that everyone else has. And it takes some struggle to get there, but in the end, they get there.
What do you think of the Olympics? I obviously the gay delegation that we sent. I think there's been a number, haven't there, been like protests here and there, you know, just in different ways. You know, my favorite one was one with on the internet with Putin with pink hair and a rainbow eyeshadow.
Yeah.
The thing was, get this off the internet, or you're all going to Siberia.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate that the Olympics, which the IOC claims is always about sport, it's always, you know, there's no politics involved, there shouldn't be any politics involved. They've completely politicized the event by allowing money to buy Olympics and completely ignoring human rights violations that are going on, which in the Olympic Charter it states you're not allowed to be a host country and engage in human rights violations. And, you know, It doesn't just apply to Russia either. I mean, there are countries all over the world, including us, that you'd have legitimate grounds for complaints on human rights violations. And it's, I think, our duty as a society to speak up on that, because history has shown that if you oppress your own group of people, then it leads to conflict within your society, and that can bring down society. That can cause them to crumble.
Chris, I mean, obviously, as one of our great straight allies, I mean, as a straight guy that just spoke out about gay rights, do you have hope for Michael Sam? You know, I mean, do you think things have even moved since when this just happened with you? Do you think that this will hopefully have a different outcome?
Yeah, I think it will, because I think the tide of awareness is shifting very quickly in terms of how these things move, and people are aware of the fact that, hey, this is an issue that we have to deal with. This is an issue that is affecting people, and hopefully it will drive bigger change in the country in terms of, you know, not just marriage equality, but also employment law, where people can be fired from their job in a multitude of states simply because they're gay. And that's something that we shouldn't have in our country, because that's not freedom.
I feel like we already had this debate with gays in the military. You know, I mean, what are Marines like less tough than NFL football players? I mean, it's sort of, we've had all these exact same arguments, right? Showers and close quarters and up, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the shower argument, because it's such a straw man argument. It's, you know, in the entire history of the NFL, there is not one single recorded shower orgy incident.
Right.
Something like that would have made the news.
Yes.
It's just going to turn into Caligula immediately. Second a gay walk.
What's a horse doing in here? What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I mean, this reminds me of, you know, my friend Shelley Wright came out, and, you know, the country music world is not an easy world to do that in. And, you know, and this is the problem, you know, there's a lot of gays in Nashville, and I'm sure in country music, they just, you know, I think that again, she had a tough time like you did, you know, and again, you're a straight guy. So, I mean, it's interesting. I do hope that we have come even further, and it's because of brave people, I think, like her and like you and now Michael Sam, that and that's exactly what does move us forward, right?
Yeah, and the thing to always remember is that change is happening, but a lot of times change happens slowly because it is generational change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's taking place in the NFL, is that, you know, you can see it, the owners and coaching staff tend to represent one generation. And the players represent a newer generation.
Chris, that's a good point I hadn't heard anybody make, because, you know, I talk about politics every day, and we talk about that all the time, that in polling, the younger and younger you go, the more, you know, people don't care. And I forget, you're right, the players are at an age where, politically speaking, they shouldn't, you know, this should be less of an issue. So let's hope that's true.
Yeah, and from what I've seen, it is true. I mean, it's a far different league than it was when I first came in 2005, and even that is a far different league than, you know, 1995 or 1990. So it's, change is happening, because players are members of society, and they change just along with society. It's just going to take us a while.
Yep. If you don't mind my making an obvious joke, you are a kick, sir.
thanks.
Homophobes might say Michael Sam isn't a man's man, but a gay man is by definition a man's man. So.
Right. Yeah. So that's the point. That's the point, is you're a man's man.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And I would love to see a Photoshop where they, you know, someone puts a picture of Michael Sam looking, you know, mean and tough in the football uniform. I think the Mizzou one that people are using a lot. Put that side by side with Putin on his horseback, bare-chested one.
Yeah.
And have an arrow pointing to each one, gay man, not gay man.
Which is which? Gay or Russian? Yeah, I mean, the one retort I loved all over Twitter is, I'd like to see any of these cowards on Twitter call Michael Sam a fag to his face.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You go tell a 6'2", 250-pound guy who's ripped that he's a fag, and yeah, you see what happens.
Let's watch the fun.
Let's see how that goes. Okay. Yeah. Chris Clue, we always a pleasure. Thanks for the great article, and thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
All right.
Enough.
Talk to you soon, Chris. There
you
go.
Yep.
Oh. You know the irony. I get a little bit straighter every time I talk to him.
I'm sure his wife appreciates that.
Yeah, she's scared. Okay. Oh, the Les in the baseball hat? Whatever, honey. Okay.
Even Putin is getting straighter.
49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Party, dance everybody, make it hot in this party. Don't stop, move your body. Rock this party, dance everybody, make it hot in this party.
No, thanks.
No,
now? Let's dance now? Everybody?
Rock this party, come on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Let's see. Agnes writes, isn't it wonderful now that gay couples as well as straight couples will be able to enjoy the sanctity of marriage conducted in the Elvis Chapel?
Yep.
In Nevada. How is the awesome sauce is Chris Cooley.
He is awesome.
Right?
Yep.
Tiddly. Let's see. Jim in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie. I could be considered a right-wing wacko, but I do listen to your show, and you keep me grounded.
Good. Thank you.
But I will say I have a construction company, and I am surrounded by some of the most homophobic peers in the world, and none of them have a problem with Sam's coming out. And I would tell people to not really listen to some of the Twitter stuff. What is it, about 85% negative anyway by a bunch of cowards?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this. If anyone's actually really played a sport like that douchebag in the little singlet from Kent State, the little wrestler.
Oh, he got suspended. Did you see
that? Indefinitely suspended.
Yeah.
Awesome. I have been inappropriately touched by some of the most straight men in an athletic locker room.
Mm.
Teabagging wasn't started by gay people. It was straight men doing it to other straight men.
Oh, like a prank, you know,
I'm
rat
a
prank.
Police sport. Former athlete, because I've gotten older, but some of the antics that go on in the locker room, so I don't want to hear this locker room argument either.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
And
because that's not gay. Right, that's not gay if a straight guy teabags you.
Yeah.
Right.
He shouldn't come out and do this, but unfortunately he has to because so many people are uneducated.
Yep.
And I know he just wants to play football, but I'm proud of him for doing this. And life is changing. Maybe you guys can get me to come around a little bit on my conservative views.
I will gradually bring you to light. By the way, even if I have to buy you, I'm going to give you a $50 gift card to ProFlowers, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, hang on. We will gradually bring him to the light and bribe him a little bit.
That's right.
As I bring him toward the light. Come fully to the light. 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS or go to ProFlowers.com, click on the little blue microphone and type in Stephanie. Travis! Give him a 50. I think he seems easily bought. I think he's about this close to the light.
I think so, too. It was the teabagging that did it.
Okay. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, could you take your organ out for me? I forgot. This party, the Republican Party, they are the regressive party. I mean, Michael Sam, Jim, may be in defensive end. Mm-hmm. But these people.
I'm not defensive. You're the one who's defensive. Shut up.
I find that offensive that you're calling me defensive end. Republican official says gays should be purged from the GOP, blames homosexuality on Satan.
Well, yes. There's going to be a big gap in the Republican Party then.
Wow. Isn't it becoming like a little SNL skit or actual people in the party? But look at that. Wow, the 80s called. They want their hair back.
Oh.
I'm going to guess she has three names.
A little Fantastic Sam's will take
care
of that.
Mary Helen Sears.
Of course.
Hi. I brought
a casserole to pass. A dish to pass.
A new candidate for a Michigan seat on the Republican National Committee wants gays purged from the GOP and claims homosexuality is a perversion created by Satan.
I think she might be surprised how few male Republicans would be left.
Mary Helen Spears, please and thank you, elected vice chair of the Republican.
Is that who
Michigan
you are? What you do?
Republican Party's first district last year. She posted a rant.
Oh, good.
On the Schoolcraft County GOP website. In the post, she claimed homosexuals prey on children. Argued that Satan uses homosexuality to attack the living space of the Holy Spirit.
Huh?
Maybe he's just redecorating. And advocated that Republicans as a party should be purging this perversion and then send them to a party with a much bigger tent. Oh, I see. Democrats, the big gay tent. Right. Michigan's representatives on the Republican National Committee. Oh, you know who else is that guy? The Dave Agama. That guy. He's regularly made anti-gay comments. He's also in the same Michigan Republican. Nice. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Bob Seska, managing editor of the Daily Banter, joins us at the bottom of the hour from Hawaii.
That's right.
Okay, StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. A love letter, like Norma did, from Good Morning, Steph. Good Morning, Mooks. So I'm getting very excited about Saturday night in Phoenix. I'll be in row 3, seat 13. Write that down. Squee. I've been dreaming of being a sexy liberal since I discovered you. Since I'm a loser and never leave the house and have no wardrobe, I need your help, Steph. What's the dress code? How do people usually dress? Doesn't matter. We're liberals. We don't judge. You're still likely to get some sexy liberal strange. It happens all the time.
I've been told the dress code is something tight.
Well, for you, yes.
Okay.
I'm so looking forward to the show. I'm tickled to death that Jim has decided to be there. Me too. As for you, Chris, don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You add a lot to the show.
Whatever.
Okay. See you Saturday. Excuse me, you need to turn your
and
mic.
Can be heard.
Pardon me? I'm sorry,
we
Jim.
We only heard part of that.
Well, yes. To make, like making sure it runs and that people can be heard.
Oh,
for example, if the microphone's turned off.
Turned yes. off, right, then that would be a... someone did not know how to operate their microphone, then it might sound a little bit amateurish. See you Saturday night, Norman, Arizona. Cottonwood, Arizona. Teeny, teeny, tiny town. 90 miles north of Phoenix.
Is that where the snakes come from?
Phoenix, yeah.
It's around Sedona, that area.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. She's ready to par and then tay and raise her glass. With all the sexy liberals, the very first 2014 sexy liberal
don't
show.
Get fancy, just get dancy. This Saturday is the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour in Phoenix. Ride, ride, turn yeah. up the night. On a party Saturday night.
Sexy liberals.
That's come on, Tucson.
I love when it's all too much. Come on, no. turn the radio up.
Turn it
where's
up.
Mama at?
There she is.
This Saturday, February 15th, come raise your glass to another fabulous year of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, starring Stephanie Miller, John Fugelsang, and Carlos El Rocky, with special guest Jim Ward. So, don't forget to wear your tennis pad or Depends for that unexpected leak.
Uh-oh, no. I just peed a little. I'll be right back. Isn't that wacky Audra in Minneapolis?
Yep.
Thank you, honey. And then Fort Lauderdale, apparently the box office did explode yesterday. Thank you so much, Fort Lauderdale. We've missed you guys. Mm-hmm. And this was just a special surprise. We're going to be there for Pride Weekend. March 1st, that's coming up in 2 weeks. Tickets are going very fast. Madison already sold out in May. Chicago, though, some tickets left in April. And then Albuquerque in May. Get it. Oh, look, it's another technological love letter. Kathy, ever since they killed KTLK in L.A., well, you know, they needed a fourth right-wing talk station.
Of course they did.
I've been listening to you on TuneIn Radio, on my Android in the car, and my iPad in the office. If I'm home, I turn on your TV show on Free Speech TV through my... Roku.
Roku.
If I happen to be in my husband's car that has Sirius XM, I listen on 127. She's got it covered.
And
now,
if you have the Sirius XM app,
right.
They rerun us 3 hours later on Sirius XM Progress Plus, which is an online-only station.
OMG.
Yep.
OMG.
Yep.
And also, you can watch us live on StephanieMiller.com, the lives on live stream, right?
Yep. Just go to StephanieMiller.com, and
yeah.
We're front and center there.
Right. Or you can buy the video cast,
yep.
which is an hour at highlight. It's an hour highlight, commercial free, of the show. Go to StephanieMiller.com for that, too. Do it. Get
yes.
it. Okay. All right. More importantly, Timothy and his rescue dog. Let's see. Steph, this is my rescue dog, Spencer. He's a Border Collie Dalmatian mix. Love you. See you with the Chicago Sexy Liberal. Look how handsome and romantic he is.
Ooh.
Spencer the rescue dog.
No.
He's not like the Pomeranian that can smile on demand. Have you seen that online yet?
Smile.
It's too much. Okay. All right. What? There's no Zimbles the Cat videos falling off something today? Is that the problem?
That was cute.
Okay.
That was really cute.
Oh, by the way, the update, they still have not caught the murderer.
That's
apparently right
walk
near my house.
Looking in the window right here.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
There's a murderer.
Standing by my car. Oh, no, it's
hey.
A lion statue.
Yeah, I don't know why. There was, like, big cops on horseback and showing everybody pictures, and it's been a whole thing around these here parts.
Hmm.
This guy, must be easier to find. One-legged man driving an ice cream truck allegedly slashes the tires of 7 cars and has evaded the police. Either the police are getting worse at their jobs or that's...
I think it's Dr. Richard Kimball. Yes. The one-legged man.
A man who allegedly slashed the tires of seven cars at a bar in Southborough, Massachusetts on Super Bowl Sunday has managed to evade police, despite the fact that he is a white male with a southern accent who's 6 foot eight, weighs between 300 and 350 pounds. He has a prosthetic leg, and he fled the scene in a large blue ice cream truck.
Hey, is that Wynn Butler from
Arcade
Fire?
Okay.
I think he's about 6 foot eight.
Oh, down on the job up there.
I guess so.
How hard can it be to find that guy? Okay. Oh, wait, can you take your organ back out for me? Because tomorrow, the ecclesiastical mook, my personal comedy Jesus, sexy liberal John Fugelsang joins us because it's a cattywampus week because we're all traveling. But tomorrow, not only John Fugelsang, Jackie Schechner for Jackie's Healthcare Corner.
Yep.
Antoinette Tough.
Yep. Carl Frisch.
And Carl Frisch. OMG.
It's going to be a hell of a day.
Mary Ellen Helen Sears, please and thank you. Michigan Republican Party. Hi.
Mary Ellen Helen.
In addition to her claims that homosexuality is a perversion created by
Satan,
she wrote that communist college professors are indoctrinating young people, claim that Charles Darwin's evolutionary theory gave rise to Hitler's Third Reich, Mussolini's Italy, and Stalin's Russia.
What? No, you can't be all of those things. You can't be extreme left and extreme right at the same time.
I did that.
Didn't Chris Cluey just say last hour that if you fail history, you're doomed to repeat it?
Yes, Mary Ellen Sears.
So evolution leads to both communism and
fascism. Yeah.
Sears, where America shops for bad ideas. If the GOP continues down this trend and stands for perversions and the daily social fad, the GOP will truly be dead and Satan will have had his day.
Is that
Mary Helen?
Thanks, Mary Helen.
Did you ever see that, though?
That's going to make our naughty parts tingle.
Did you ever see Little Britain, the projectile vomit episode?
No. Thankfully, no.
Every time someone mentioned they were gay or there was a minority, she would projectile vomit on them. Okay, just me. Just me. All right.
That was a funny show.
This could be just me. I, as you know, have had a lot of critter trouble.
Yes.
Yeah. I've had, you know, well, I mostly America's Funniest Wildlife Pranks. Like my raccoons have rolled up my sod.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes saran wrap my toilet seat or frozen my bra, but mostly they
Didn't they bean you in the head with avocado pits?
Yes. This, however, did not happen because I closed my dog door. Police say a Massachusetts woman has been attacked by a wild raccoon in her own bed.
Oh, that's bad.
The raccoon jumped on the 73-year-old woman's bed when she tried to pet it, thinking it was her own cat.
Mm.
The raccoon got in through the cat door.
Yeah, we had one try to get into the cat door at our house. I was like closing it, trying to keep it locked, and he's going, let me in.
That's why cats should be indoor.
Like the
cats.
Flintstones cat.
Yeah.
All right. That's like that eyeglass commercial. Oh, hi, kitty. She lets the raccoon in.
Yeah, right.
All right. Jay in Florida. Hey, Jay, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chris Cluey rocks. Yes. But my question was regarding discrimination and the NFL and their nonprofit status, thereby being subsidized by taxpayers. Are there any ramifications, regulations, whatever, that they would face if anything came out regarding Michael Sam and him being dropped in the draft
or
anybody
that's,
else?
That's what Chris Cluey was saying, is they're obviously going to be very careful about that and not, you know, use code and not have the email chains that, you know, that will say stuff like that. I think that's what's hard, is I think I'm not sure we'll be able to know or prove.
Right.
That's what it, but I think most of us will know it was. Hi, Tony in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Stephanie. I was just calling to say, you know what? In this life, people going to hate you and going to discriminate and going to do whatever they want to do. The
haters going to hate.
Thing, pardon me?
Haters going to hate.
Exactly. And the bottom line is, as a person of color or a gay person, you got a decision to make early on in life. Are you going to let the hate you dictate your life, or are you going to live your life and do you? And the bottom line is, only thing you can really fight for are your legal civil rights, and that's about it. Because black people have been here since 1619, and we got a case in Florida right now where a man just shot and killed a boy because he thought the music was too loud.
Yeah, and by the way, Tony, since we just talked to you know, Chris Cluey about Richard Sherman, and, you know, Richard Sherman's saying, you know, everyone knows thug is code for the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
this case in Florida, I mean, it literally reminds you right of George Zimmerman. You know, it's a stand your ground defense, like, oh, I felt threatened. Really? Because you didn't
right.
like the thug music.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. The bottom line is, what I would say, the gay people, since a lot of people could, you know, compare the struggles of us both. The bottom line, though, is I don't have a choice of coming out. When I walk in the room, girlfriend, I'm black, okay? You know, and what I was just going to say is there are going to be people that are not going to like you regardless forever.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. That's just the way people are. But the bottom line, they can't put their hands on you. They can't do anything. Because just like you said with the guy in the NFL, like the guy was saying earlier about the front office, that's more so what you need to worry about. Nine times out of ten, like you said, the people on the team, it's going to be a few of them, but not a lot. It's like we said, the cold, the little undercurrent. That's what always exists. It does. It's just a fact of life, and you have to live your life without being affected by all of that, or you'll go nuts.
Well, you know what it gives me hope is that you and I have always had a beautiful interracial love affair.
Yeah.
Right? Sing with me, the child is black. The child, all right, never mind. I love you, Tony.
Love you, too.
Goodbye. All right.
How does she respond to that?
Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Child is black, the child is white, the whole world looks upon a sight, a beautiful sight.
Eat it. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Okay, did we really get an email that that picture was a little askew and you went over there with a level to make sure?
On my iPhone, yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
What?
Nation of anal set decorators. Everybody just gizzig. It's fine.
We live in earthquake country. Their pictures are going to be askew.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Oh, do you have the Rush thing ready?
Uh-huh.
Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay, yes. We were saying Rush seems a little, you know, Jim, a little confused about how to navigate this new world that is less homophobic and racist than he might wish. What did he say? Oh, that there's heterosexuals are under assault.
We can play that to set it up. Do you want to play that to set it up?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Damien has some thoughts on it. Here he is.
Rush. Why is homosexuality political? Why is there a political aspect to or agenda associated with homosexuality? And why does heterosexuality have no political agenda at all? You say heterosexuality may be 95, 98% of the population. They're under assault by the 2 to 5% that are homosexual.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And how are we discriminated against?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I just love when Rush started talking about that, Fred just went and shoved his head in Jim's arm. In his armpit.
It's the love that dare not speak its name.
Right, exactly.
He's telling me what to say.
Okay. Damien says about assaults on hetero. Steph, I don't know, Steph, I met you at New York Sexy Liberal. You were a little frisky. Rush might have a point.
Well, I was a little bit, but
it was a loving assault on a heterosexual in that particular case. I don't know. I think Rush might be losing it.
I just shot myself.
All right.
Yeah, I don't. He didn't really go on to say how the straights are under assault.
No.
Oh, that must be the reason for his four divorces or whatever.
Sure.
The gays.
Look what homosexuals have done to me.
Exactly.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
All right. Oh, what other reason could there be to divorce him?
Jeez.
Okay. President Obama, speaking of right-wing freakouts, small businesses are getting a further delay for Obamacare coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Cue right-wing freakout, the president.
We're smoothing this transition, giving people the opportunities to get right with the law, but recognizing that there are going to be circumstances in which people are trying to do the right thing and it may take a little bit of time.
A little bit of time? Tyranny! Hitler!
Right. Employees with, you don't need to know anything else about the right wing. That's what they said.
Yep.
Employees with fewer than 100 workers won't have to provide health insurance until 2016 under Obamacare. Larger firms have to cover at least 70% of the workforce starting next year. So, Q. John Thune, Republican of South Dakota.
Why does the Democrats' signature legislative accomplishment have to be repeatedly delayed so that it can save the jobs of the people here who voted for it?
Then Q. John Cornyn, blah, 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 lawless president, Hitler.
How can a president that puts his hand on the Bible and takes an oath to uphold the laws of the United States do this? What authority does he have to do that? And the truth is he has no such authority.
Well, he's president of the United States.
Yeah, well, there's that. There's
that. Yeah, but he's black. That's my point.
Oh, did I say that out loud? Oops.
Yeah, no matter where you look, when you see a thoughtful, reasoned analysis of, for instance, what the CBO report just said, the LA Times op-ed by Jonathan Gruber, Obamacare, it's a net gain for the economy. Yeah. The recent CBO report on health care reform has lots of good news. Insurance premiums are lower than expected. The Affordable Care Act will cost $9 billion less than previously estimated. And the provision designed to buffer insurance companies from risk will actually raise revenue, not function as any sort of federal government bailout. But the good news has not gotten much attention because of this whole 2 million jobs, Obamacare, job killer,
right.
Hitler. Right. But actually, the CBO did not project job loss at all. Jobs leaving is not the same as job losing. We've been talking about this all week. Many Americans who may eventually leave jobs or reduce their work hours will do so by choice to make themselves and their families better off. Voluntary reductions are not a cost of the health care reform law. They are a benefit. Thank you. And Bob Seska writes about this delightfully.
He does.
And we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. The CBO projects health care reform will reduce the federal budget deficit by $100 billion over the first decade. Why do you never hear that from the right, the deficit hawks? And by more than $1 trillion over the second decade, healthcare costs are also rising more slowly, in part because of provisions in the law. The economic gains from reducing the deficit and slowing healthcare spending likely outweigh any losses from slightly reduced labor compensation. Critically, the CBO report notes but does not quantify the new efficiencies we can expect in the job market from the reduction of job lock. With ways to ensure affordable health insurance no matter where they work, many Americans will be able to start small businesses or take new positions where they can be more productive.
Yep.
Yeah, this is something that was it's such a good thing before the black guy.
Yeah.
If naysaying politicians really believe it's worth throwing 25 million Americans off the rolls of the insured to avoid a fraction of a percent of reduced labor market compensation, then they should stand up and say so. Otherwise, they're simply scaremongering without presenting a constructive solution to our national health insurance crisis.
Yep. And I think it's hysterical that Republicans were saying, we need to delay it, we need to delay it, we need to delay it. And then
what are you doing? Why are you delaying it?
Yeah, and then the president delays a portion of it. Why is he delaying it?
We need to go now. Now we need to go now.
You're delaying it too quickly.
Jason in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, go ahead.
Wanted to call and first of all, thank you guys for your show.
Thank you.
I like how you expose hypocrisy, especially when it's coming down to gays and all this other stuff.
It's not parties. Hard.
You know, I thought this country was about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But
right.
It seems like it's only for certain groups.
Straight happiness, right,
you know,
if you're a right-winger.
Gays, lesbians, women, minorities, you know, only certain groups get those rights.
Right.
Another thing I wanted to...
Right, that was, sorry, that's the end of the another thing, I'm sorry. 29 minutes after the hour, hard break, as they say in the radio business. Bob Seska next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I've been on the toilet so long that my legs have fallen asleep. So when I tried to stand, I just fell into my throw up.
Oh, God. Well, you know.
That's what I call Wednesday. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow is an extravaganza. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang, Jackie Schechner, the return of Jackie's Healthcare Corner, Antoinette Tough, and Carl Frisch.
That's right.
And then Friday,
Gavin Newsom.
Right. And I can't remember someone else. We'll think of it. All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Don't we have to be in an airplane?
Or are you leaving on Saturday?
I'm driving to Phoenix.
For Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
Y'all don't provide me with a ticket.
Maybe we can.
I'm taking
this.
The bus.
Maybe we could do this during the next commercial break. Okay, great. All right. In the meantime, Bob Seska, as usual, has a great, great article, the all-new GOP lie about Obamacare, the CBO, and jobs. He joins us now. Mahalo, Bob.
Oh, Stephanie, hi. I want to be on tomorrow's show with Jackie and John.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, you're canceled for now.
Great.
I know. Talk to me about this. We were saying here that, well, Jim Ward summed it up brilliantly as to what's become of American journalism.
Mm-hmm.
What does Chuck Todd think about what David Gregory thinks about Roberts?
Right.
Yeah.
Rather than here's what the CBO report actually said.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
not, oh, what's the right wing spin and how is the politics going to go? So this is what you talk about this week, right?
Yeah, I mean, last week it was one of the most ridiculous examples of journalistic malpractice I've ever seen. I mean, between what the GOP was saying and what was being reported in the press about that CBO report, I mean, I was astonished. And it kept going and going and going all the way up until Sunday when the Republicans did an entire reset and changed their tack to not from, you know, the CBO report says that all these people are going to get fired, but you're lazy if you don't want to work 60 hours a
right.
week.
Obamacare, as you say, disincentivizes work. Republicans think Obamacare will make you lazy. That became the new meme, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The funniest thing about this, Stephanie, is that Senator Roy Blunt, was on Fox News Sunday, and he basically implied that if you don't want to work more hours, you're lazy. What's hilarious about that is Roy Blunt worked 113 days last year.
Yeah,
exactly. But as you write, rather than disincentivizing work, the ACA actually encourages people to find better work. Thus, they're contributing more to the economy and building the middle class. And here I thought the Republicans liked entrepreneurship and economic growth. I guess not. I also thought the Republicans were pro-family, so isn't allowing moms and dads to spend a few more hours raising their kids a good thing?
Yeah.
You know, and the answer is always, well, yeah, that was all good until President Obama got in.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of the like the last ditch flailing that we're going to see about this law from the Republicans, because it's been one lie after another about the Affordable Care Act, whether it was stealing money from Medicaid to pump into Obamacare, or the cost of the plan, or how much it would contribute or not contribute to the deficit, and now it's this, and last week it was where 2.5 million people are going to be fired, and now this week is, well, that might not happen, you're just lazy.
Right, and meanwhile, as you say, Doug Elmendorf testified to Congress that the ACA will reduce unemployment. I mean, it's the exact opposite of disincentivizing people to work. But I guess you're right. We've long since been able to have an actual debate on what the ACA actually is, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, there's no debate on actual substantive terms here. I mean, we're constantly having to bat down this misinformation and the lies about the law. And it's one thing after another. And, there's never an opportunity to say, well, here's how, so many people are benefiting from it. I mean, here are a bunch of success stories from it. It's always about, that's a lie, stop lying. And that's all we end up doing. And we can never talk about, the people like me, for example, who are seriously benefiting from this law.
I hear they're going to force everyone to get a sex change.
Yeah.
right after they complete their death panel.
Bob, as you do, you make an excellent larger point. You say, while we're here, you know what really disincentivizes work? Crappy wages that can't possibly cover basic necessities like rent and food. If the GOP was interested in incentivizing work, they'd support an increase in the minimum wage while supporting laws that incentivize businesses to offer stronger benefits packages. And here's a blast from the past, maybe a real pension. Instead, the Republicans seem to be opposed to anything resenting a living wage in a time when American businesses are making record profits. I mean, that's exactly it.
Yeah, it's really sad that the notion of a pension is like referencing gasohol in your horseless carriage. It's like something from the olden times. Mm-hmm. But these are things that people relied on. It's what built the middle class, and we've lost that. And you want to talk about, like I said, it's something that disincentivizes work. I love that word because I can't pronounce it. I feel like Tom Brokaw.
Listen, I tried to say plurality earlier today.
All right, it went horribly awry.
Yes.
I mean, bless him, Tom Brokaw. I know he's been diagnosed with a very bad illness.
Yeah.
But has he tried to pronounce Medvedev yet?
Medvedev.
During the Sochi Olympics?
I don't know. But, you know, again, the other thing I haven't heard anybody say, you say Americans work more hours than any other industrialized nation. We take fewer vacations, retire at older ages. Our work days are longer. In 1970, we worked around 35 hours a week and made $59,000 a year, adjusted for inflation. Today, it's 46 hours a week and around $51,000 a year. So you say over 1 million employees a year miss work due to work-related stress, costing businesses $200 billion annually. I mean, why do we make it seem like it's a great thing to work ourselves into an early grave?
Yeah.
Right.
And in Europe, they take off all of August.
I was just going to say,
In Germany becomes a ghost town because they've all gone to Spain and Portugal.
Yeah.
Well, they're all commie nations.
Yeah, right.
Bunch of commie pinkos relaxing and enjoying their free time.
You know, with single payer healthcare and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I want to continue to hear people who work 113 days a year tell us that we need to work more hours for lower wages. That's a winning plan. Please keep going. You're doing great, Republican.
No, and that's the thing that is so galling about them always sort of implying that the poor are moochers and don't want to work when trust me, a lot of people I know in that category work constantly. They have to work more than one job. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
uniquely American. Three jobs. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this might be anecdotal, but I mean, there's a guy who collects our garbage every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He must be 90 years old. He collects garbage every morning and then goes to work schlepping the shopping carts at Target for the rest of the day.
Wow.
This guy should be retired, kicking back on a beach with a Corona. Instead, he's working two jobs, and they're like two of the crappiest jobs you could possibly imagine. Is he lazy? Is he not working enough hours? If he wanted to take a few hours off a week to actually relax and, you know, unwind, is he being lazy? I mean, this is absolutely insane. And, you know, again, I really, really encourage the Republicans to continue on this tack. Please keep going. Please keep telling Americans that they're not working enough.
Right, exactly. You're like, if Republicans want to go around telling Americans we need to work more hours, that we can never quit low-wage jobs to find better ones, that we can't start a business without losing our health insurance, I encourage them to do so. You're always a helper, Bob.
You know, I try to do my best to push them along.
Particularly in an election year, you're just trying to help.
I'm Helpy Helperton.
You're the greatest. Thank you, Bob Seska. See you next week, honey.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All
bye-bye.
Right, there he goes.
Aww.
Aloha and mahalo. I don't even really know the difference.
Mahalo is thank you. Aloha is good, as hello and goodbye.
Right. Okay. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's living in Hawaii.
Wow.
Foreign country of Hawaii.
Socialist paradise. Yeah, the Daily Beast had a piece, the same, you know, along the same lines. Republicans to America work, moochers.
Yep.
Republicans are entering the week with a clear set of talking points. Obamacare is discouraging work and setting up Americans for government dependency.
God.
Oy. The problem is, as I noted last week, Obamacare doesn't discourage people from working. Rather, by providing for the purchase of health insurance, it gives people the option to retire early, move to part-time work, and quit jobs to pursue other options. Exactly what everybody is saying.
Who's paying the salaries of these Republican geniuses? Oh, it's us.
Oh, we are.
Yeah,
right. For how
right,
many
great.
Hours they... Well, at least they produced a lot. Oh, no.
Jesus, no.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people picking up on this theme. In a pre-Obama era, they would have praised this as a family-friendly reform, right? Family values and all that. Now it's an attack on the dignity of work and an unjust form of redistribution. I mean, as an aside, it should be said, Jamel writes, as far as the dignity of work goes, it only applies to low-income Americans. Republicans aren't as worried about the idle rich, who I suppose have earned the right to a life of endless toil. I mean, that's the thing. They never talk about that. What about rich kids? They don't work ever. It's like, oh, well, that's okay. You're somehow morally superior because you were born
and cause
rich.
You don't have to work a day in your life.
And you don't have to go to jail for killing someone. You can just go to rehab.
Yeah.
Because you have affluenza.
Oh,
if it's wrong to use government to free individuals from the threat of poverty or ruinous disease, then in practical terms, the only free people are the wealthy who don't have to work to survive, who can act and take risks without worry. If this sounds like an unfair description of Republican views, then consider it in the context of their recent actions. From blocking emergency unemployment insurance to cutting food stamps, refusing minimum wage increase, at each turn, when offered a choice between improving the life of low-wage workers or forcing them into a state of dependence, whether at the whims of employers or out of the labor force altogether, Republicans choose the latter. And it's true. It's all of a theme, right? Whether it's Obamacare or unemployment or food stamps or whatever. All right. Good stuff. Yay, Bob Seska. Yay! 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Cheerio. What?
It is what? Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Extravaganza tomorrow, sexy liberal John Fugelsang joins us tomorrow because he will be traveling to Phoenix Friday for Sexy Liberal. We have Jackie Schechner. Mm-hmm. We have Antoinette Tuff, the school bookkeeper who talked that kid out of shooting just with her heart.
Yep.
And also Carl Frisch on the show, a big show tomorrow. Oh, no, say it ain't so. Hannity is selling his home in New York.
Yeah,
for his only palace. $3.6 million, Jim.
Oh.
You got that on you?
Tragic.
As you know, he threatened to leave New York because of Governor Andrew Cuomo's comments about extreme conservatives not being entirely welcome in New York. Then he walked back those threats, saying he would probably stay until at least his 15-year-old son graduated high school. But now it looks like Sean Hannity may have been serious about moving. So now... Wait, that doesn't seem like family values. What, he said screw the 15-year-old and finishing high school? Hannity has put his Long Island estate on the market.
Long Island estate. Good heavens.
Yes, $3.6 million.
It's a hell of an estate.
Oh, Hannity. Hannity. No.
Hannity.
Oh,
when will this louse just disappear?
All right. Holy moly.
What?
Did you see the latest Dennis Rodman news? Rehab did not take, Jim. Did not look like it took. He has fallen off the wagon just 3 days after checking out of rehab. He reportedly had so many kamikaze shots, the waitstaff lost count at a South Beach nightclub.
Who hasn't that happened to?
I don't know if you heard the story in North Korea. He is not welcome back until he has completed his alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
In a report cited by Free North Korea Radio, he was practically forced out of the Hermit Kingdom for his full-blown drunk and disorderly behavior. Rodman was drunk the whole week of his stay, and the night before he left for the U.S., he was drunk and unconscious, vomited everywhere he turned. He even urinated and emptied his bowels in the hallway.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
I love this. The stench was just horrible, and people are criticizing not only Rodman, but also Kim Jong-un, saying that no one in his right mind would be a friend with Rodman, animal that he is.
Wow.
Even Kimchi couldn't.
They said the ruthless dictator is fine.
Yeah.
But the drunk guy pooping himself.
Even Kimchi couldn't mask that smell.
No.
Yikes. He certainly is our ambassador.
Great.
Nice. Did you see this? There's Angela Lansbury accused of sabotaging the reboot of Murder, She Wrote.
Mm.
Octavia Spencer of The Help.
That's right.
good friend of a good friend of mine. See if I can get some, you know.
So you might say she murdered it.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't think there's any mystery why NBC pulled the plug. She was supposed to star in the reboot of Murder, She Wrote. Mm-hmm. A source says she blames the show's original star, Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
It was murder of the series.
Don't with Angela Lansbury.
Apparently. Lansbury, 88, was said to be against the reboot and lobbied the network to dump the idea. That did not sit well with Octavia, who was slated to star in the new version. Even though Angela apparently got her way, she's now said to be upset at Octavia for pointing the finger of blame at her. I'm just saying, I would not come over to Octavia's for pie because, you know, Angela Lansbury. Okay. That's a joke about the pie.
Yeah.
Okay. George Clooney does not want to be on Twitter. See, I'm with him. I only go on Twitter for one reason. To drunk tweet Lawrence O'Donnell.
That's true.
Yeah. Travis would call me. Like, Lawrence tweeted you. I'm like, what? Oh, my God. And then I'm all over it. He does not want an account on the social networking site because he's worried he'll post inappropriate comments when he's had too much to drink. See? That's why you generally keep me away from the Twitter machine.
Yeah, but now I've taught you how to do it, so.
I know, but I always forget.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost like that. What's the thing you have to finish a math problem before you can send an email?
Oh, yeah, Google Goggles.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always the thing, because I won't remember how to do it, and then I'll call you, and you can determine whether I'm too drunk to tweet.
Yeah.
There you go. Miley Cyrus, Jim, thinks guys watch too much porn. Oh, she must be watching you on that camera up there.
No.
Because, wait, did she take her ass out of Robin Thicke's face long enough to say this, or I see, she think guys are too much into right
when they should be looking at her,
right?
That's her point.
Right.
Look at me. What are you looking at?
Stop looking at me. I thought I missed the story a couple days ago. Pope Frank, he just gets cooler and cooler. His Harley Davidson was sold at a Paris auction. I love the way the Pope is poping.
Yeah.
It was actually donated to Pope Frank last year. I don't know if he ever rode it. I don't know if they're allowed to have a Pope cycle.
Born to be mine.
They need a Pope mobile, because they need, you know, I don't think a Pope cycle would.
No.
Right. Have enough protection.
That would be a little bulky.
Right. And plus, you can't get the helmet over the hat. How do you get a helmet on a Pope hat?
Does he have a sidecar for a mini Pope?
I don't know. Okay. Oh, here's some more gossip. About Rupert Murdoch divorce.
Oh?
As you know, Rupert Murdoch has divorced his third wife, Wendy Dang.
Yep.
Reportedly over some kind of intimate note indicating Dang's crush on former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. That is random.
Okay, well, you know.
It was written in broken English by a woman to herself, pouring out her love for a man called Tony. She writes, the S word. Whatever, why, I'm so missing Tony because he's so charming and his clothes are so good and he has such a good body and he has really, really good legs, but he is slim, tall, good skin, pierced blue eyes, which I love. Love his eyes. Love his power on the stage. Really?
Wow.
Tony Blair?
Wendy's a freak.
Wow.
Well, I suppose it's better than having a crush on Margaret Thatcher.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know. Perspective.
I expose. All right. That is it for us. Don't forget the big extravaganza tomorrow. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang, Jackie Schechter, Carl Frisch, Antoinette Tuff.
Yep.
And don't forget, get those last remaining tickets for Phoenix Sexy Liberal this weekend and Fort Lauderdale in a couple of weeks. Go to Sexy Liberal on Facebook to find out all the upcoming shows. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.